And good morning, website people out there. This is Sunday morning. I have no idea what the date is. June something. June 26th. And there we are. We are on Manner of Life. I'm thinking 8. That's why I have it up at 8. And we're just going to jump into one that's... We did grace. We did truth. Then we did the Nesses. And there's more to that Nesses thing, too, as I've been reading. So maybe we'll tackle that tonight. Boy, having only two things and then one on Wednesday, it's just not enough. Well, there's no school going on, but try to get you guys in here. We're going to go on. We're going to go on to mercy this morning. We're going to go on to mercy. And we're going to look at just some verses on mercy. And let's keep in mind that these verses on mercy are about God's mercy towards us. And most of the verses we're going to look at are ways that we could apply for us towards other people. Now, we've got to always remember that we're going through this list thing one thing at a time about the manner of life, and we don't stop with one and park on that one. Like, we don't stop with grace. We don't just keep continually giving grace everywhere to everybody, because there's not necessarily any truth being spoken of or being exhibited from you. We don't just stop at truth and just start hammering people with the truth, because they're just going to shut the door, if they even open it up at all, and keep you out. There needs to be grace and truth. And he talks about our speech to be with grace seasoned with salt. And that salt got to be the truth. Otherwise, what's the point? We haven't accomplished a thing, except we've kept a friend and we've kept somebody close by. And you haven't done anything for God. And when we say that we're not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, and we're not ashamed of Paul, if we just offer grace and no truth, then I'd have to disagree with you and say that you are ashamed of the Lord and you are ashamed of Paul. Because you don't want to talk about it. You'll trade your friend, the risen Savior's teachings and your life and your judgment seat, rewards for your friend. And that's just our flesh wanting friendship. And it's an important thing, friendship and fellowship. And you live alone. Or, like, I know some of the folks out there that talk about that. It's hard not to, you know. So maybe we just learn from this manner of life. Maybe we've been doing the ways of Paul a bit rough towards testimony, or in a manner that doesn't have wisdom or whatever towards other people. So we're looking at mercy today, which I'll tell you sure is an awful lot like grace. Mercy and grace, they're almost the same thing, but not quite. Here we go with the good old-fashioned 1828, which we all start off with that, the definition of mercy. That benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart, which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. Well, that sounds like grace, too, but God offers us grace, and he exhibits mercy. That's one of my thoughts. Then go on here, it says, the disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries, to forbear punishment, inflict less than law or justice will warrant. In this sense, there is perhaps no word in our language precisely synonymous with mercy. That which comes nearest is the word grace. It implies benevolence, tenderness, mildness, pity, compassion, and clemency, but exercised only towards offenders. So if somebody's doing a specific thing, then mercy comes into the play. Grace, he has taken out the law, and he's offered grace to everybody type of a thing. Now, another definition, act or exercise of mercy or favor. We think of mercy, for example, we got a dad and a daughter on here. You know, sometimes your daughter does things that she really should have had a spanking over the years. You had mercy and you didn't. But the grace is there. She's still your daughter. You're not kicking her out and all this kind of stuff. But there should have been something that came with that. And that was mercy. I remember Vonna told me about some of the times she had mercy for you, Bob. So she exercised favor there. Pity. Compassion manifested towards a person in distress, mercy. And it says grace and favor, pardon, the act of sparing or the forbearance of a violent act expected. In other words, they did something seriously wrong and they expected a punishment and there was none there. or little there or whatever, that's mercy. Now, to look at mercy for us towards other people, again, it's like grace. It's like truth. It's like all the things we've been through so far that we don't want to do it, goodness, kindness, it's because of our pride. When we don't exhibit these things in our manner of life towards Paul, then we're blocking a true testimony. Because with grace comes truth. With mercy comes compassion. And sometimes we don't want to do that because of our pride as a father or a mother or a teacher or a pastor even or anybody. We have a pride. We just can't get ourselves to give in to them because they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. They're wearing something they shouldn't wear. They're talking like they shouldn't talk. They're going someplace they really shouldn't go. And A, it's none of our business, but if it comes into our relationship and we're there and the conversation is there, blah, 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 then grace, truth, but we don't want to do that, see, because of our pride. And if an argument comes out of it, it may be you meaning, it might be you trying to be the nicest you could say it. How else can you say it better? You can't say it any better than the Scriptures because God is behind what He says. So we try to put them into our words and sometimes really mess things up. But when we do that, and we're not angry, we're not frustrated, we're just trying to, and they get angry, see? There's their pride. Why don't people want to listen to this Paul stuff? Why don't you want to check out this? Because of their pride. To put your authority into a single book, just into a book, no feelings, no inner sanctimonious earnings of blessings, it's a pride thing to think that you have to just give it all to God. Didn't you do some good things and you kind of deserve some blessings? See, you're building up your pride. You think you're good enough? You think you're ever good enough that God should bless you? Come on. One act of goodness doesn't just cover up 14 wicked thoughts you've had or selfishness or anything that you've had going on during the day. I can't imagine anybody thinking they've done a good enough day to warrant God's blessings. Come on. You read Paul, just go through the Beatitudes. They'll knock out your blessings right there. None of us deserve any of the blessings from God. If they were thinking along physical blessings. Why would we deserve for God to allow us to get a new car? Oh, wait a minute. That new car has 9,000 years of payments, so the car's going to actually cost you $80,000 by the time you're done. Yes, that's a gift from God. Right. This really nice house you got, but you haven't got any cash on hand because you can't even feed your kids, but you have this nice house. Right, that's from God. Yeah, right. No, our physical blessings we pay for, we are given to us by someone else, a Christian brother. That's fine. That's one of the things we should do. But we find out from Paul's teachings that the blessings we receive today are spiritual blessings, and the physical blessings can't even come close. So what do we do to deserve those spiritual blessings? Zero. Nothing. He did it. He paid it all. That's what we sing. Why don't we believe that? The riches of His grace. That's what it is. It's His grace that we have those things. That He gives us that imputation. And He gives us that spiritual surgeon. The stuff that keeps us. And the thing about Romans chapter 6. We had nothing to do with that. Except we heard it. We believed it. Now we're just going to trust Him that He said what He said was true. And we trust Him. We trust Him for our salvation, but we cannot trust Him for our walk. We still have that flesh we have to deal with. And you think about these folks that believe in the Great Commission and other modern Christianity stuff. They could do something wrong. They'll never admit it's wrong. But when they do something wrong, they can confess it. Oh, so when they ask us, can you just go out there and kill somebody and God's not going to impute it to you? Well, let me ask you this. You can go out there and kill somebody and confess it. What's the difference? Except that it's something you did and you're doing something to get out of it. It's something I did and God already covered it. It's still all in His part, not mine at all. That's grace and that's His mercy. That He doesn't do stuff to us that He should. Now, this is one of the things that people today have a hard time with God to think that there even has to be mercy. See, people getting tired of this mean old God that if you don't hear from Him, then you don't get to be saved, then you're going to burn in hell forever. What kind of a God would do that? Well, the kind of God that would do that would be a holy God. His holiness and heaven and his kingdom coming, all that stuff is so perfect, then the opposite of that has to be so wicked and fearing and scary. Eternal suffering in hell. You just think about it. If you get old, you start thinking about this stuff, and boy, you can't imagine that. I mean, you don't even get a chance. Well, you get one chance out when the white stone judgment comes along, but then you're going to go back in. I'm not sure if you can hear that thunder or not, but I just hope it's thunder, not the rolling train sound of a tornado, but we seem to be safe here still. Okay, so people have a hard time when they read the Old Testament about God and all these people begging for his mercy. What kind of a God is that? Well, we know that. He's a perfect God. And he still gave them mercy. But what we see difference in the Old Testament was, and the Gospels, and the tribulation, they have to ask for it. They had to cry for it. They had to beg for it. Because they knew they had done something wrong, and they just had to beg God for his mercy. So, let's look at some of the Old Testament. We're not going to look at the Old... I'm not going to do the Old Testament stuff. It's just that we'll see it just in the Gospels, which is still Old Testament. Here we go. Here's one, Matthew 9. He says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. A woman of Canaan came out of the same coast," in Matthew 15, "and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord." Matthew 17, "Lord, have mercy on my son." Matthew 20, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, the Son of God," it says. And Mark, it says in Mark chapter 10, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me." We see just example here. So, do we have to plead for God's mercy today? No, we don't. We'll get to that in a second. Here's another thing I noticed in the Gospel times here. Matthew 5, verse 7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." It's just like forgive. You want to be forgiven? You've got to forgive them. You have to forgive someone else in order for you to receive your forgiveness. It's the same thing with mercy. You want God's mercy? Make sure you're merciful to other people. Here's a verse in Luke chapter 10. And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." God's had mercy to you. Some person had mercy to you. You need to exhibit the same kind of mercy in return. Now, I'm not against showing mercy towards someone else. That's not my point. My point is, in these days, in the gospel days, they had to ask for it and beg for it and cry for it. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go to the tribulational times, the time coming up. Chances are for most of our children and grandchildren and stuff, these are going to be some tough days for them as they nowadays aren't being taught this stuff. Then I would have to say that they're pretty good candidates for the tribulation, the way things are looking. It might be 50 years, it might be 100 years yet. I can't imagine. As fast as we're going down as a nation and in this world, that falling away that really is happening, how far does it have to fall? Well, it has to fall far enough. Romans chapter 11:22, when they're done with Paul's teachings about the goodness of God, God will be done with the Gentiles. But okay. Now, Hebrews 4:16, tribulational stuff now. And we all know this verse. "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Well, that sounds pretty good, and we hear people say, we can go to the throne of grace now. We don't have to go to the throne of grace. God is in us. He tells us to pray without ceasing. He tells us to, pray without ceasing, instant in prayer. We don't have to go to the throne as such. We don't have to go there to obtain mercy. We have God's mercy. We have God's grace. Mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's always there. So now we see a difference. Hebrews 10. "He that despised Moses' law..." Now he's teaching us back to the Old Testament. Why? Because this was all to Jewish people. So why not? "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy." There you go. And yet, he that did the right things, you know, they had the sacrifices and the turtle doves and da-da-da-da, they would die, they'd go to Abraham's bosom, then Christ himself would get him out later. So he's not a hateful God. He is a holy God. He's without anything wrong, no sin, the whole thing. And in order for him to have that in existence, there had to be something just the opposite. So if you don't do what God asked you to do, and he provided you a way out when you messed up, what kind of a unloving God is that? He gave them an opportunity to get out of it, had to sacrifice some blood, had to, you know, do those things, and all they had to do was do that, and they still would have God's mercy. But they chose not to. Okay, somebody choosing not to believe God or not to follow God or think God's nuts or he's mean doesn't know the scriptures. And remember, Jesus said, ye are not knowing the scriptures. It's not that God didn't tell anybody. It's not that he didn't tell somebody to go tell somebody. I mean, the opportunity to hear was there, just like it is today. In James it says, for he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. He says in James chapter 5, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, and the Lord is very pitiful. There might have been a little echo in the website. I didn't put my microphone up very close. Ye have heard the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Okay, now there it says, but you got to note something in the tribulation. It says, we count them happy which endure. They've got to make it through that tribulation to see that mercy. 1 Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope of resurrection by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, yeah, but now they're finally getting that mercy at the end of this whole thing when they could have had it all the time. Which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. He had so much mercy for his people that he offered the whole thing again through Peter. Hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. But they had to still believe. 1 Peter 2:10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, what they do, there's a bunny trail here. People look at 1 Peter 2:10, and they think that that's talking about the Gentiles, because see, they were never the people of God. So that 1 Peter 2:10 tells them that everything in Peter then must be to the Gentile. That's how they find one verse they can manipulate, and that isn't what it says at all. Which in time past, he's talking to the Jews. There was a time the Jews were not a people. They were not the people of God. They didn't have mercy. Then they became Jews before that. Now, this people of God now, they have the opportunity to obtain this mercy. Again. Hath begotten us again. Jude 20, verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Well, sure, what do they have to do? They have to keep themselves in the love of God. They have to keep themselves, it says. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You've got to read those tribulation books slowly, and you recognize the fact that those guys do not always have His grace. They do not always have His mercy. They get all that stuff at the end. They have to walk the tight rope. They have to walk the law. They have to have the patience of the saints, it says. Obey the commandments. Not take the mark. Still have faith while they're being persecuted and tortured and all that. Yeah, if they do, they receive God's mercy. They receive God's grace at the end. So, there's mercy, the way God handled mercy to His people. And it's really too bad. I'm glad they didn't get it, because if they would have gotten it, about Jesus being the Messiah, we would have to learn all this stuff from the Jews. And our pride tells us, they have nothing to teach me. I don't want to do it their way by obeying the law and the commandments. Jesus Christ, come on, He's the Messiah. I don't believe. See? So, you know, we're glad that they didn't get it. Romans chapter 11. But it's really too bad they didn't get it, because they really messed out on a marvelous time of grace, where we receive, we already have His grace. We already have His mercy. We don't have to go to the throne to get it, to find it. It's already in us because He is in us. Where's the throne? It's in us. That's where we talk to Him. And He talks back from the throne when you read His Bible. And you got to make sure He's talking to you by reading the stuff to Paul. Do you get that, Ashley? I mean, if you could grab onto that thing and read that Bible in a fashion that it makes sense to you, you'll just be shocked and surprised at what marvelous mercy, what marvelous grace we already have on us. If we believe, he says, we have to believe. Hear, believe, and trust. Ephesians 1:13. Now, let's go look at mercy now during our time. What does Paul say about mercy? I mean, let's find out if I'm just not spitting some hot air here, which I'm famous for doing. Let me check, make sure rain isn't coming in my window here. No, we're safe so far. Romans chapter 9. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. This is what's written to us now. And yet we see something in Romans chapter 9 that's quite interesting. Romans chapter 11 is a verse to tell people, read about the Jews. Read about what God has done for the Jews during the Gentile time now. And that's Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 9 is Paul also talking to the Jews and about the Jews. And we're not going to go through that, but read chapter 9 sometime and you'll learn more about what it is that God, how He handled the Jews. For example, verse 15. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Oh, really? So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So what we could be wrong in doing here is we could take that verse right there, Romans 9:15 or 16 or 18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he hardeneth. So we look at that, and we can pick those out by themselves and say, well, look at that. God chooses which one of us receive his mercy or not. Do you see how a person could come up with that? I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have in other words, he's going to pick and choose who gets God's mercy and who has his compassion. He's not talking about us as individuals. He goes back. For he saith to Moses, and you read this chapter 9, and he's talking about the Jews. God gave mercy to who he gave mercy to, and he had compassion on whom he had compassion. That's what it says. So then it is not of him that willeth. It wasn't during the Jewish time. It was during the Jewish time, and it wasn't that these Jews were saying, okay, I'm going to get his mercy. So then it is not of him that willeth. You can say you want God's mercy and not get it, the Jews. Or nor of him that runneth. So there were Jews that figured they deserved God's mercy because they walked, they did the right thing, they runneth, they worked at it, they earned it. No, they didn't earn his mercy, and they didn't command his mercy by willing it. God gave it to those who he gave it to. It was his choice. Nobody could earn it. Nobody, da-da-da-da. You see what that's saying there? That's not talking to us as individuals today. That whole chapter is about Israel. So even though Romans is written to us, Paul is teaching us something about the Jews. That during their time, yeah, God picked and chose. And he would choose the hardness for Pharaoh, verse 17. But you still read closely, Pharaoh had a chance to accept what God was teaching. He refused what God was teaching through Moses, and so God hardened Pharaoh, and he chose to harden him and do what he did. But Pharaoh still had that opening opportunity. God never took anybody and harangued them with his killing without them having the chance of knowing what's right. If it was a heathen, Romans chapter 2, by the way, if it was a Gentile, the Gentiles, the heathen during the Old Testament days, lived by their conscience, not by the law. Okay, so why, Bunny Trail, so why would we be trying to obey the Ten Commandments today? Well, because Paul teaches 9 of them to us. So we're not doing it, we're not trying to look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus. We're fitting into our ways of Paul the 9 commandments in our day-to-day walk because Paul taught them, not because they're the infamous Ten Commandments in Exodus. Does that make sense? So here's all this hullabaloo, is that the right word? Hullabaloo from the 60s? This hullabaloo about the Ten Commandments should be in the courthouse. The Ten Commandments should be on the flagpole. The Ten Commandments should be preached in the school. No, they shouldn't. Paul's ways should be listed in the courthouse. And if you want to just pull out the commandments for segment of his ways, fine. But put up 9. Don't put up that 10th one. Now, we're going to find anywhere posted publicly the 9 commandments. Let's have a movie, The 9 Commandments. Are you kidding? This is how far religion has taken our country and taken this world, and how the devil has used denominational things and a wrongly divided Bible and just confused everybody to death. They just can't imagine. What are you talking about, 9 commandments? Have you ever said that to anybody? Hey, did you know that the such and such is making a big thing? You want to contribute money? We're going to fight for the 10 commandments. I'm sorry, but I don't want to fight for the 10 commandments. You don't? No, I'll fight for the 9. And why do we even want to fight anyway? But because we want to have the freedom to be able to say like we did in America. You want to have 10 commandments? Go ahead and have 10 commandments. But you don't need to. So, anyway, this whole thing is about the Jewish nation. Look at verse 23. And he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. That's not the Jews. We are vessels of mercy. But it says here, which he had prepared unto glory, which he had afore, ahead of time. Well, God knew this was all going to be taking place. Look at verse 30. Well, I'm sorry. Well, hang on a second. Too fast here. 9:23. That he might make known the riches of his glory and the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, see, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he say also in Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. So that's a history lesson there. That's not a place to find where God picks and chooses who gets his mercy today. I hope that helps out somebody somewhere out there that's going to... See, that's Romans, though. Yeah, there's a history lesson in the middle of Romans there. And that history lesson is to us so we can learn what God was like when he was to the Jews. That's all that is. Okay, then we go to Romans chapter 11. Verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief. Okay? So we have received God's mercy. Okay? Through their unbelief. Now verse 31, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. So what he's telling us there is because the Jews had unbelief, we received God's mercy. Now, they don't believe, we should exhibit what towards them? Mercy. We got it from them because they did not believe. So God gives that mercy to us. Now, they still don't believe today, we should be giving them mercy in return. For God hath concluded them in all, including them all in unbelief, that you might have mercy upon all. So how does God give his mercy to the Jews today? Through the Gentiles. There's another verse right there that tells us how we should still be taking care of Israel. But it isn't the verse that takes us back to Genesis. And that's the one people say. How many of you have already heard the reason we're having these floods is because the day before these floods started, we did something wrong to Israel. So now we're having these floods, or we're having these fires, or we're having these hurricanes, or we're going to have an earthquake pretty soon. The next time America does something crummy to Israel, the next thing that could happen could be the earthquakes. No, that's not how this comes about. What the way Abraham blessed all the nations is in Romans, not in Genesis, is in Romans, that this spiritual circumcision, this imputed righteousness, that's what gets put onto the nations. And how is that done today? Through Paul's teachings of the risen Savior. And so we have mercy towards Israel. We are thankful for their unbelief. And I still can't wait, if I ever have the opportunity, I'd still like to meet a Jew sometime. I wish my Jewish friend, Barry Shapiro, from way back in Minnesota teaching days, was still alive, because I never thanked him for unbelieving. That would have been a great conversation start. Well, thank you, Barry. I'm glad you didn't believe, because now I'm able to. Now I'm going to show him mercy, because he's going to when he dies, he's going to go to hell. That's just the way it says. Pretty rough stuff. Okay, so that was Romans 11, 31, 32. Look at Romans 12, 8. No. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, does that make sense? Did I get it across? I'm not good at getting stuff across. I say things, you know, whatever, mumble, whatever, too fast, too slow, I don't know. The stuff about the Old Testament and about the tribulation coming up and the mercy that they get from God, they have to beg for it in the Old Testament and the Gospels. You know, they can't earn it as such. They can't God picked and choose. It's still based on their walk, but they had a chance to get themselves cleansed in the tabernacle so that He would give them His mercy. Otherwise, people those days, can you imagine having to be so right that you would always be begging for God's mercy? I mean, go through yesterday. What would you have done yesterday that you would have had to beg for His mercy? Anyway, not my business. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Here's why we look to Paul. You still there, Ashley? Adriana? Is Adriana there today, Brian? Is Brian there today? Hello, Brian. Is Adriana there? Not today. So you get a chance to teach this to her, I hope. And Ashley's still listening, Bob? Ashley, the hello? Is Bob there today? Bob's probably watching the baby. Hello? No? Oh, Ashley, shame. Okay, you can pass it on to her. So another mental thought, another part of this thing is 1 Timothy 1:16. Why we look to Paul. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. So Paul received mercy. Why? Well, Christ gave it to him as a pattern for us, so we can receive that same mercy that Paul did. And Paul didn't have to beg for it. Paul didn't have to earn it as such. It came with what Christ had done for him. So he's our pattern. Look at Titus chapter 3. We know, for by grace are ye saved, but we also know, Titus chapter 3 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, verse 5, but according to His mercy He saved us. He didn't have to do this. God had grace from the beginning. He could have shut this whole thing down from the time Adam messed up the whole thing. Grace has been there. But His mercy, well, according to His mercy, He saved us. We're the ones headed for hell, lake of fire. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Now, this is what's an interesting thing. We don't find all that much on mercy from Paul. He just says it's there. God is rich in mercy. He's the pattern to show that He's received God's mercy. According to His mercy, we're saved. And when that moment of salvation comes along, why would we have to ever beg for His grace or go to the throne for His grace or beg for His mercy? because we already have it by having him. That's why this is the greatest time ever of Genesis to Revelation. They've never had it like this before. Now let's look at Galatians 6 for one more here. Galatians chapter 6, verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy. Then I like this last part. And upon the Israel of God. And we've mentioned this before. But isn't that just that's a King James Bible for you right there. Everybody would look at that and go, oh, see, that's a misprint. That should be upon the God of Israel. What, peace and mercy upon the God of Israel? How can that be? Come on. It says what it says. Peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. If what? They walk according to this rule. Okay, what rule is this? Well, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Doesn't matter. Jew, Gentile, whatever. It says, but a new creature. You see, we're a new creature. Not a new creation, we're a new creature. So because we're that new creature, we have his peace and we have his mercy. And so could a Jew. So could Israel. But they won't do it. They want to stick to that circumcision thing. I heard in the news yesterday, some state somewhere, some insurance company or something will now not pay for circumcisions of babies. And it's just like, medically they still do it, and there's many reasons for it. But they're not going to pay for it anymore. Why pick that thing? There's just weird stuff in the news going on, isn't there? Well, there's mercy. We need to have mercy towards other people. Paul was our pattern for us, and now we should be able to exhibit this mercy to someone else. And that's pretty tough. But go through that list of things that we're supposed to do as Christians. We have despised, destroy, and we've got tears, and we've got grace and truth, and we've got all these goodnesses and kindness and these things, and we want to have mercy too. And our pride says, no, let them get what they deserve. Because if I step in and give them mercy, they'll just do it to me again or do it to somebody else again. That's their fault. Like it's Brian's fault that his house burned down. Well, I'm sorry God didn't give you mercy, Brian, because he could have skipped your apartment. Same thing with Sharon's apartment. That's not what we're talking about here at all. We have his mercy because we're saved. According to his mercy, he saved us. So just think of the things that could have... Just think of the things that you've done or thought that got people killed in the Old Testament days. Well, maybe you haven't done anything like that. I don't know. Go through the Levitical law and see what happened when people did those things. Yeah, it's not just his grace, it's his mercy that he doesn't do that stuff to us today. But see, we walk according to that rule. What's that? As a new creature. Doesn't mean you're walking the law, doesn't mean you're walking Paul's thing, so if you don't do those things, God's going to harangue on you. No, we don't. That doesn't happen. Because we have his mercy. He doesn't pick and choose with us. He picked and chose with the Jews. He doesn't pick and choose with us. We have his mercy because we're a new creature. And if we could just grab a hold of that thing and just realize, oh, everything else is so minor. And then maybe we'll, like I said, maybe I'll show you some of them, just some thoughts that I had on Romans chapter 6. You can read Romans chapter 6. It kind of goes along the same line. Because of his mercy, it isn't because we've got to do the right thing to receive his mercy. We have his mercy. So when we do something that people out there think is a wrong thing to do, according to a Christian, we can cause them to stumble. So we need to not just live a life like we want because we have his mercy. We need to live as our reasonable service, to be that holy living sacrifice, doing the right things according to the scriptures, not so we're afraid of getting not to be so we've been begging for his mercy. We don't have to beg for his mercy. We have it. Marvelous stuff. Just marvelous stuff. Anyway, we'll see you folks tonight.